Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and welcome to this week's HopeCast. Joining me, as she does every week, is Jen Houston, my partner in this HopeCast. Thank you, Jen, for joining me today.
Thank you so much, David, for having me.
Well, I wanted to take the next step in looking at end times prophecies. Last week, we looked at the formation of the nation of Israel that happened on May the 14th, 1948, seeing that day come and go, celebrating the 74th anniversary of Israel's existence, a nation that didn't exist. Then suddenly, in one day, in fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah 66, verses 7 and 8, that can a nation be born in one day? And the answer is an absolute yes, it was. But I also want to look today in a greater depth with this idea of when God called Abraham and gave him that land in Genesis 12, that promised land, that holy land that belonged to God. God said, this is for you and your offspring, that God promised Abram that the nations that bless you, I'll bless. The nations that don't bless you, I'll curse. And I wanted to give just a couple of other illustrations here today that are fascinating, taken from a book entitled Bless Israel, Be Blessed. And I can't pronounce the author's name. I'm sorry. But the name again of the book is Bless Israel, Be Blessed. And this man goes into literally dozens upon dozens of examples that when nations bless Israel, they get blessed, and when they don't, vice versa, they get cursed. And he gives a couple of illustrations that are absolutely fascinating. For example, in 2005, George W. Bush's administration tries to get Israel to give land to the Palestinians called the Golan Heights. And when they do so, they think peace will then come. Well, Israel is forced to do that, and 5 days later, Hurricane Katrina blows through the New Orleans area and causes the greatest amount of disaster monetarily that's ever happened in the history of the United States. We force Israel to give away God's land that he owns, that he wants for those people, and said so clearly to Abraham and throughout all of history, and we force them to give it up, and we are the ones who get cursed. You just have to ask the question, what in the world is happening there? Then we see that just a few months ago, Joe Biden's administration tries to force Israel to abandon building homes in East Jerusalem and to give that to the Palestinians, thus declaring that East Jerusalem is Palestinian belonged. And then at that point, what's so interesting is that huge tornado that went for, 248 miles, went all throughout the United States into Kentucky particularly and caused massive destruction. That occurred right after the Biden administration forced Israel, or tried to force Israel, to give to the Palestinians East Jerusalem. And you know, it's also fascinating, and Jen, I don't know what to do with all of this. All I know, the Bible says very clearly that to Abram and his descendants, the nations that bless him will be blessed, the nations that curse him will be cursed. You look also at the whole idea that 4 years ago plus, our president then, Donald Trump, moved the capital of Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, noted that. Every president practically beforehand said they were going to do that, but never did it. Trump did do that. It was a huge statement of honor and blessing to Israel. And, you know, we were experiencing at that time the greatest economic blessing and boon that we had known in our country ever. So I'm just wondering, I look at the facts, I look at the scenario, and I ask the question, what is going on here? And then you read the book, Bless Israel, Be Blessed, and all the examples that are there by this author, and you've just at least, I think, got to pause and ask the question, is God's word God's word?
Yeah, because it says it in his book.
Yeah.
I will bless those who bless you. He says it in his book.
Well, that's what I'm trying to get at today is, as we look at Jesus' words that this generation will see the fig tree bear fruit and be a blessing to the world, many people know that the fig tree is often symbolic of Israel, and Jesus may well have been saying that this generation that sees the birth and the fruit bearing of Israel will be the generation that will see the second coming of Jesus. And there are a couple of other nations that I think we need to glance at as we try to do this end times prophetic update, if you will. The first is Russia. And what really does stand out to me as this continual conflict with the Ukraine occurs, and I'm not sure that Ukraine is an essential central part of Jesus' second coming, except that it is the breadbasket of the world. It supplies a large part of food for Africa itself, and we are experiencing worldwide some shortages of food because of that, thus fulfilling the prophecy of Jesus saying there'll be famines and, I think, food shortages that occur before his second coming. But what is really striking to me about Vladimir Putin, and people ask me all the time, is he the Og of the Magog of Ezekiel 38 that will eventually lead Russia in an invasion of Israel and cause a cataclysmic battle called Armageddon? One of those nations that's mentioned is Meshach, which many people think is Moscow, which is directly to the north of Jerusalem, as in Ezekiel 38, you have the prophecy that Magog and Meshach will come down from the north directly south to Jerusalem. Well, I don't know if Putin is that Og. The word Og means prince or leader. He certainly has anti-Christ qualities. When you think of what he's done in the Ukraine, for example, I mean, bombing a Muslim place of worship with the people in there worshiping, his gross treatment of the citizens of the Ukraine, his hideous way of dealing with this war and doing so with almost an autocratical, I want this because I want this to restore the motherland, makes all of us pause and think. But I think what's most pausing for most of us today is his repeated threats to use nuclear weapons against whomever if this war continues. Now, many people just live in the idea that there's no way any nation today would use a nuclear weapon because that would then cause another nation that has nuclear weapons to come against that nation as well, and then you have truly a disaster. But Putin just may be crazy enough or demonically inspired to do that kind of thing. And as you look at Israel, you ask the question, well, why in the world would Russia ever go south to invade Israel? What's there in Israel that he might want? And the truth is, there are a lot of things that he might want, like a 32 trillion cubic foot of natural gas off the Mediterranean Ocean that Israel now controls in every way. Well, Europe buys one-third of its natural gas from Russia. If this war continues and NATO has more and more pressure put upon it not to buy Russia's oil or its natural gas, where does Russia turn then to control the supply that it may need in order to control the world's desire for natural gas? That answer is obvious. They would have to attack Israel and get control of that billions of dollars of gas reserves off the coast. You also look at the strategic advantage that Syria would have if it invaded Israel as well. Russia has a series of tanks and other military operations on the border of Syria right at Israel in order to invade at a moment's drop of the hat. Would they dare use nuclear weapons against Israel? Ezekiel 38 and 39 describe some kind of war that has huge bursts of fire that happen in the warfare itself. Could that be an example of some kind of nuclear warfare? It does cause all of us to at least pause, knowing as well that Israel has those nuclear weapons at its capability in its hands, and we know that that could happen.
Wow. Well, as I'm reflecting on all of this, I remember I was in that part of the world. Is 1999 turned into the year 2000 when we thought the world was going to end. And I started in Beirut and I ended in Jerusalem, but I will say I was in Israel for 24 hours and we did the craziest tour. And you can actually tour the entire nation in less than 24 hours. It's not that large of a nation.
No, it's the state of New Jersey.
It's mind-blowing.
Yeah,
when you think of all the prophecies, all the importance of it, it's not really that much land.
And Israel has to have that land, God's land, holy land that he gave to Abram and his offspring in order, A, for Jesus to be born in that land, which he was, and in order for Jesus to come back again to that land, which is the prophecy that he will. And as you look at the players on the world stage right now, Jen, what else is fascinating, not only Russia's aggressive nature right now, its desire to have more nations at its control, and the more it has, the more people it will need to feed, which means it has to have more and more control of natural resources, Israel being its greatest competitor now with natural gas. Its closest ally is Iran, a nation with which Russia will ally in order to attack Israel. Interestingly, in Ezekiel 38, it is not only Magog, that Russia area that will invade Israel, it is Persia. It is Iran, as we know it today, that will be in cooperation with Magog when that invasion occurs. What is the nation on the face of the earth right now that hates Israel more than any other one? That answer would be Iran. It's Shiite Muslim perspective. It hates Israel. And what's so interesting is many people think that Iran is about 8 weeks away from being able to fully develop all of its uranium capacity to have a bomb itself. That means that if there is some kind of invasion, Iran could have at its disposal, along with Russia, nuclear capabilities to fight against Israel. Iran's made it very clear it has no desire for peace with Israel. It has every desire for Israel to be blown into the heart of the Mediterranean Sea. It hates Israel in every possible way. So it is receiving from Russia the scientists necessary to develop nuclear weaponry and also the funding that's necessary for that to occur. And what is so weird, so strange, is we are now renegotiating with Iran to reestablish a relationship there where we are giving them billions of dollars, and that if you don't think those dollars are being used to develop nuclear capabilities, you are living on an island in the world and are uninformed about what's really going on. So that's just another aspect of end times prophecies that we look at, what's going on with Iran and what's going on with Russia and the Ezekiel 38 prophecies, and seeing that they would be the two major nations that would come against Israel at any moment, at any time. And what is also fascinating, Jen, that I think all of our people need to know too, that again, Iran is the Islamic Republic of Iran. It's run by mullahs and others who are spiritually in control of the nation. I need to make this very clear, though, that Iranian people, the Persian people, are blessed, beautiful, wonderful people. I've gotten to know many through the years in my desire for that nation to come to know Jesus. By the way, it is, along with Afghanistan, the fastest growing Christian nation in the world.
Wow.
Mostly led by women who've come to faith in Jesus, another subject for another time, who are leading that movement. But interestingly, Iran is coming to faith in Jesus through dreams and visions, Jesus bypassing the normal communication means to communicate to people who he is and the wonderful gospel of grace. But the leaders themselves are mostly mullahs and ayatollahs, and they are not good folks. They do have as their desire the complete destruction of Israel. And as you look at who they are, they believe that one day the 12th Mahdi will return, and he will be the fulfillment of Muhammad's second coming. And when he returns, these Muslims believe he will be accompanied by Jesus. And Jesus will declare to the world, along with this 12th Mahdi, that he is a Muslim. And he will encourage all Christians to convert to Islam and become followers of Muhammad. That is their belief. So if they are ushering in the second coming of Jesus, they are helping the cause of the advancement of Islam worldwide. So that's yet another motivation among the spiritual leadership of Iran to get rid of Israel so that the 12th Mahdi can come back and Jesus accompany him, declare that Jesus is a Muslim, and then everybody who's a Christian in the world convert to Islam, and you will have then the vast majority of the world being Muslims who follow Muhammad.
Wow, well, this makes me think that we really are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and the principalities and the powers of darkness. And I think the way that you depicted that and what's going on there, in the middle of so many people coming to faith in Jesus with this darkness, oppression in this nation, I just think it's striking.
And before Jesus returns too, Paul made it clear in Romans chapter 11, there's going to be a vast number of Jews who start to come to faith in Jesus as well. There are only about 30,000 Messianic Jews in Israel today, but interestingly, there is a movement of the Spirit among some who are coming to faith in Jesus. And I think you'll see that happen as well before Jesus does return. But Jen, we end up almost in the same position as we did last week. Okay, so what? Mm-hmm. So Israel now celebrates its 74th birthday. It's got to exist for Jesus to return. Those interesting insights given last week. Also today, we look at Russia and Iran. They're prime players before Jesus returns. People go, that's interesting. But we end up with a so what? Mm-hmm. And we have to always end this way whenever we look at prophetic updates. Hey, everyone, be spiritually alive. Be spiritually awake. Mm-hmm. Keep looking up. Be ready at any moment for Jesus' second return. But please live in a way that's holy, set apart, different. Live in a way that's pure and life-giving to other people. Please be a servant, not a superstar. Please use your gifts to serve the poor, the needy, the oppressed. Please have a great heart for taking the gospel throughout all of the world. If Jesus should return tonight, let him find all of us who love Jesus being faithful in every possible way, doing what he's called us to do, no matter if his return is a year from now or tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We are faithful today, ready for him to come back if he should come back right now.
Yeah, that's so good. And I'd like to share this one practical insight, if I may. I heard somebody teach recently, you know, the parable of the 10 virgins. Five of them had oil reserves and five of them didn't. They all represent the bridal party waiting for Jesus's return. We need to buy our oil. And how do we do that? We get intimate with Jesus. We pray. We cultivate our relationship with God in the secret. And that is how you fill your vat with oil.
Absolutely. And oil is always symbolic of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. So you want to have your heart filled with Jesus' oil and to always be ready with the fullness of his life in the Holy Spirit, ready for him to return at any moment. And one thing I would add, Jen, what's fascinating, it was the five who didn't have the oil who tried to go purchase it. But, you know, really, the oil we get through the Holy Spirit is not purchased.
That's right.
It's a gift given by Jesus the moment we receive him as Lord and Savior. Dear friends, just be ready. That's the essence of what I've been trying to teach last week and today. We'll look at another HopeCast next week. I hope you're enjoying these with my friend Jen Houston. Jen, thank you for being with me again today.
Thank you for having me, David.
God bless you all. We'll talk with you soon next week.